I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Net positive, baby. We in the studio. What episode is this?
68, I think. 68? I think we're 68.
Oh, yeah. We're in deep. Super deep. And listen, we're getting in deep in these combos because you know why? Because I'm present.
Yes.
I've been off tour.
Super present.
Off for the summer. I'm off for another month. So the next four episodes, stacked.
Locked in.
John is going to be there, baby. But in September, we're heading out back on tour. Quick tour date rundown. September, we are coming to Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Wichita, Springfield, Middle America. It's a Counting Crows song. And then we're going up to Canada, baby, Ottawa, Peterborough, and London, Ontario, before ending the month in Myrtle Beach and Roanoke, Virginia, October. On the road, baby, Greensboro, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Fox Theater, Birmingham, Alabama, at the Alabama Theater, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, October 20th, October 21st, Springfield, but not Springfield, Missouri, Springfield, Illinois. Mm. Oh, yeah, we'll be out there. And the meth capital of Indiana, Evansville. Come on, John, don't do this early in the episode. Coming there October 22nd, and then November, December, obviously, we're on the road a ton. We'll be back out there shaking some hands. There's some babies that come to the show sometimes. Yeah. We'll see them out there. What's up with you, bro?
Chilling, man.
Hanging out?
Yeah, dude.
Hot episode today.
Super hot.
Kendall Tool, baby, in the studio.
Awesome conversation.
She's not in here yet. Yeah, but it was unbelievable. Yeah. I had a great conversation with her. Yeah. I connected with Kendall. I made a video. I think it was during the pandemic. It was one of my, it was probably 2020. And it was every Peloton owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought a Peloton and did kind of a, joking around about the Peloton community, and this is it was awesome.
I think it was cool to see that, because myself as a Peloton owner would say super accurate on the video, but to hear her also be like, "Yep, that's right,
checks out."
Yeah, she saw it too.
And I think I do like I do a you do joke about the drag racing community or the NASCAR community or the homeschool community, which kind of was, by the way, all these communities that kind of sub Disney the same. You want to make a video that those people want to share. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not trashing on them. You're kind of just honoring the fad in a little bit. Everybody knows about this and bringing some levity to the growth of it.
Yeah.
And it's always, when I did the Disney videos, they were like, all the Disney people were like, yo, this is us. This is true. This is hilarious. This guy must know something. He must be in this community.
Yeah.
And when I can make a video, I think she reached out. No, she reposted it.
Nice.
That's how I originally became friends with her.
That's awesome.
2020. And we've just kind of been following each other's career. I would post a video about stand-up, and she's like, yeah, you let them know. Or like, nice. Very like encouraging of my, like, comedians need to be able to say whatever they want, free speech, and always very, very encouraging.
She's a super, super motivating person to be around. Like high energy at all times. Awesome insight. Her story is awesome.
Yeah. You're going to listen to this pod. I mean, I want to go call my parents, tell them I love them. I want to go work out.
Yep.
I want to reach out to friends that might not have I talked to in a while that might not be doing well, encourage them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we talked about this, that sometimes somebody with a large following that you're not necessarily in their, like in their circle, mm-hmm. that you're like, I'm not deep in like the Peloton community. Like, why does everyone like obsess with Kendall Tool? And then we go,
yeah, that's
right. Got it. Yeah. Oh, no, that checks out. That checks out. Love the conversation we got into. It was obviously funny.
Starts out really, like, we started out very light and fun and just having a good time. And then as it got on,
yeah, we got into it
more deeper into mental health stuff and her journey and comparing and contrasting everybody's like emotions and stuff. Really cool.
And that's a great arc of a conversation, what you call it, is like that then you go into like, what are we doing? What are we here for? What do you have to say? And mm-hmm. I think it's always refreshing when somebody has a point of view. Yeah. Huge Kendall Tool fans here at the Net Positive.
Big time.
And if you're not, you're going to become one. And if you are here from the Peloton community, welcome. I hope you enjoy the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, back in the studio, full squad today. Alex?
What's up, what's up?
What's up, brother? Andrew? Mic'd up.
No mic today.
No mic today. Dang. We got a guest in the studio.
Sure do.
You want me to do the introduction?
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my introduction.
Slow golf clap. Gorgeous.
Turn it up 2 to 3. Kendall Toole is in the house.
Yeah. Ladies and
gentlemen. Hello. What's up?
Peloton extraordinaire.
Oh, goodness.
Is that fair to say?
I'll take it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, everybody, they say if you ever taken a Peloton class, you know Kendall Toole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
You've become kind of like face of the brand, I feel like.
I think, well, default. Again, because I say really stupid things accidentally, and I swear it is accidental, but yes.
A lot of people think it's not, right?
They think it's scripted, and yeah, I appreciate like it. I'm not that talented. I could not. No. Yeah. Like, I could not do stand-up. It scares me, the idea of it. No.
Well, we talked about that on the when we were reviewing for – I was like, dude, mm-hmm. all these things, like, when we do stand-up, I go – like if you said that some gets taken out of context or put on TikTok, I go, uh-huh. yeah, you guys do understand this is live. Like this is live. We're not.
Yeah. And you're like when like different comedians like are with the crowd, I get so nervous because I'm like,
oh, yeah.
oh, what's going to happen? Like how is
you never know.
Yeah. And in today's world, like you can get canceled for anything. I almost got canceled for something. I think I posted something random and there was like a group of people on Reddit that were like, fire her. Yeah. Am I going to lose my job
Reddit,
because you didn't
Reddit
like
come
my answer?
For you. Reddit will come for you.
Do you pay attention to those comments and stuff?
I've learned not to now. Early on in the career, I made the mistake of going on message boards. And it is, if you ever want
message boards. Not even comments, you're past that. You're on Reddit forums.
I mean, I know. There's a big Reddit
forum. She's like, I'm in chat rooms.
Like,
when was this?
Like, I secretly talk about how great I am from like fake accounts just to make myself feel good. No, if you ever want to deep dive and feel terrible about yourself, just Google your own name and look at Reddit. And you're just like, okay.
Yeah,
self-loathing just to another level, but it's all good. It comes with it.
Well, is you because you can rate the rides, right?
Yeah. We actually just got rid of the rating button.
Oh, really?
I think some people didn't want to see the ratings. I think they were taking
of the instructors.
I think some of the instructors were like, this was definitely a 99. I'm like, girl, if it's
good.
A 99 or a 98, who cares? It also could be like, I don't know, the stream was bad. Or I don't know,
it's
someone's pissed
fault.
At their husband that day. And they're like, screw this person. I'm going to give them a one star.
Do instructors get competitive about that stuff?
I don't know.
Good answer.
Yep.
Nice. I don't.
I'm above
it's not
it.
My
she
vibe.
Rides above it. Yeah.
No, I mean honestly, if you get to the point that you're looking at it and like judging what you're doing by it, you're gonna be in trouble because then everything you do is public too. Like if you're looking for that much external validation, it's not gonna bode.
I feel like if I have my own socials and then like the podcast has their socials and then the podcast has there is like an infinite. If I'm laying in bed, there's an infinite source of like, if you want to, you can, my socials, like on my Instagram, it's like, good, we love you. Good. And then it's like one step away. And then if somebody else posts, then it's like 3 steps away. I'm like, you're going to find something bad.
Oh, totally. Eventually. Or like DMs in general. Like my favorite is that people still don't know how to use Instagram. So this is great. They'll respond to my own story thinking they're sending it to their friend.
Making fun of me.
I've
gotten those.
And most of the time I just let it slide. And then sometimes if it's bad, I'm like, you do realize it. Like you sent it to me. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I love you. I'm like, what? Really? I'm like, okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. Sending your, people go, like, send my bit.
Yeah.
Like, did you see this? I go, yeah.
Yeah, I did it.
No, I made it. No, yeah.
See, I feel like that'd be fun. Like, as a comedian, like what your comebacks could be in the DMs would be amazing. Like mine, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to upset anybody.
Yes, you don't say anything
most of the time.
Yeah.
Although I found out, like, you know how DMs kind of get separated into different things, and you can messages
like
unread
categories. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And now I'm like, I found out. When you read
she's been
the different.
Armed.
No, when you read someone's from that one far category or whatever, that not primary.
Request.
Request.
I don't think,
they set it up
as that one far category. I don't think.
The far category. I don't.
Hey, this confirms it's not scripted.
Yeah.
It's not
guys,
scripted.
Guys, yeah, clearly.
What's
like,
the one far category?
The one far category, yeah.
I think
she's
it's
from
requests.
California, guys.
Is it requests? No, there's requests and then there's hidden requests.
There's hidden. Also, who named that?
Right.
Yeah, who named that
It
one?
Doesn't make any sense to me. And then primary versus general, I'm like. And then sometimes
there's
I'm
a
like,
lot going on.
I know. I'm like, this is, I'm overwhelmed. But I think people can actually see it from whatever the far one is.
Like if you read it inside that category?
Even if you say unread. So I feel bad. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I've people. I've left so many people on red then because I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Oh, too, yeah. Or, you know. But you're not allowed. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're allowed to. Once you get a certain amount of followers, you can leave people on red.
Is it like legal? Like you're not a bad person.
What's the amount of followers that you can then be too cool to like pay attention?
Oh, that's bad. There's like no good way to answer that. There's like, no good way to answer.
Well, I just see some people act in public. By the way, like, dude, you're acting beyond.
You're acting beyond your Instagram. Yeah,
no, not that. Not your Instagram.
Hey, you're not that popular.
Yeah.
Like, you're not that viral. Like, let it go.
Yeah, we've been in some shows where, like, I remember. It was Andrew Schultz. He was mm-hmm. doing the show after us at the Miami Improv, and okay. he didn't do a check drop. So a check drop during your show is when they drop the check, and it's like kind of distracting because everybody's got to pay for their meal. Out there, uh-huh. and then I did mine, and I do it. It's very distracting for comedians.
Yeah,
when they do the check drop, it's like annoying. So Andrew had a show after me. I was at 6. He was at 8. He didn't do a check drop, and then
So you got like.
Well, I go, oh, I didn't know you could. No, it was a different shows, but I go, I didn't know you could. And so I went back to my agent.
Yeah.
I go, hey, let's not do check drops. And he goes, well, he can. Kind of like.
He's like, yeah. He's more important than you. No, he said the exact same.
He's like, you can't. I mean.
One day, John, you'll get there. Yeah. John. Yeah.
Like, he can.
Yeah.
You can.
I was like, oh, I didn't know we could do that. He goes. Well, he can. Yeah. Like, not kind of like in a way
he's
that
trying
like,
to figure because he's still your agent. He's like, I don't want to like get fired, but
if like it's like Dave Chappelle, cool
and it's like do your job better. Yeah. Make me more famous, agent. Shoot. Come on,
like Dave Chappelle smokes inside everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like in a restaurant, he'll just smoke.
Well, he's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
It's like him, Snoop. Like you're gonna tell those guys no.
Oh, yeah.
The waitress is gonna be like, hey, there's a $250 fine for smoking. He's like, okay.
He's like, okay.
You're like, oh, yeah.
He's like,
who do I make it out to?
Yeah. Summer is in full swing, and hopefully that means cookouts and dinner parties. Yeah, baby. Always be ready with a freezer full of fresh, ready-to-bake delicious options from
Wild Grain.
Wild Grain, baby. I got it. My kitchen is my fridge is full of Stocked Wild Grain. Hey, there's nothing like the nothing quite like the sense of fresh baked bread coming out of the oven. Yeah, baby. If I told you they could get fresh, delicious, and spend less time in the kitchen, you can.
Mm.
Wild Grain, baby. I think you can take credit for saying that I baked this.
Yeah, I think so.
The bread comes in like you bake it,
mm-hmm.
but it's bread.
Yep.
But breaking bread, I wonder how much long it would take to make bread. If we went home right now, we're going to make some bread.
Yeah.
A couple days. My mom used to make bread.
We would need at least a week on YouTube trying to figure it out just to get going.
Wild Grain is the first ever baked from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, baby. Oh, never run the risk of getting bored with Wild Grain. They're constantly adding new seasonal and limited time special items to add to your box. And for every new member, Wild Grain donates 6 meals to the Greater Boston. Oh, shout out Boston.
Hey.
Great comedy city. Food bank, so you can eat good and do good at the same time.
Love that.
Oh, yeah, baby. All you have to do is sign up wildgrain.com/net positive and choose which type of box you want to receive and how often. It's easy to reschedule, skip, or cancel. And I cooked tonight.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of those, like where the food, you go, yeah, we're not, we can't order in again.
Mm-hmm.
I got to cook.
Yep.
And the pastas come like that.
Yep.
My fridge is full of them and the breads, it's unbelievable. Plus, here comes the deal just for us, baby. For a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box plus free croissants.
Ooh.
Croissants.
Croissant?
How do you say it?
Croissants.
Croissants.
Croutons? No.
Can I get the bacon, egg, and cheese croissant? I say that at McDonald's. Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Croissant.
Yeah. In every box, when you go to wildgrain.com/net positive, start your subscription. You heard me.
Yep.
Free.
Croissants.
In every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/net positive. That's wildgrain.com/net positive or use the promo code net positive at checkout. Well, should we go all the way back to the start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For
rewind.
People who rewind from the beginning. Kendall Toole, want to say what all I know about you prior from Peloton was that you're homeschooled.
I love of all the things that you know.
Homeschooled
yeah.
and like
very weird.
And kind of like religious like us.
Like kind of religious. Like raised
or
Catholic.
On the team.
Team. Team Jesus. It's really the Jesus thing, which is
That's how we kind of connected at the beginning, because you were like, wait, all this stuff is, we made a joke about you.
Yeah.
We made a joke about Peloton.
I was laughing, and that was my favorite thing. I got sent it so many times. My brother's actually, he's sitting here. Hi, Rye. Sorry. He's going to hate me for that.
He's like, please don't bring me
in. He's like, don't. Yeah. I don't want weird DMs from people. Just don't. Kendall, don't. But yeah, so he was like, you have to see this. And he sent me, and I was like, oh. And then you made that joke about me being, I'm still flattered that I was a 20-year-old from a white 20-year-old chick from Brooklyn. And I was my Botox. You said something like, oh, I love it when a 20-year-old
I need to be inspired by a 20-year-old girl yelling rap lyrics.
Which, and then I was like, he's not wrong. I literally do that in every class. There's like, just certain things that hit, you know?
Yeah, it works.
It's like that, tell me I'm pretty. Wait, you think I'm skinny?
Whatever. Oh my God, yeah. One more time? Oh no, I'm terrible. I'm awful. What?
But did everybody have over there have a good sense of humor about that?
They love. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's free press.
Yeah.
And it was funny too. Yeah. Like it wasn't. I mean, look, I've been made fun of in other ways that weren't necessarily funny. But at the same time, if you can't make fun of yourself, it's the weirdest job. I ride a bike that goes nowhere, and I do it for a living.
You know what? I didn't think
talk
about that.
Like failure Olympics. Like think about it. Like I'm not riding a real bike. My bike goes nowhere. I'm not Lance Armstronging.
0 miles.
Zero. I mean,
someone would argue. Spin classes. I like it because they're all in a group. The spin class is fun. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand. You have to have like rhythm. Like you got to go. Like I don't even know how to describe it. You describe it better.
And we can confirm you have no rhythm based on that.
And you got to like ride with it, and then you got to go up, and like you can't just if you don't know how to like do it.
Yeah, like getting out of the saddle with a rhythm and a beat at a fast cadence is not easy. So I try to help people, and I always go like by the BPM. So if the BPM
is per minute, I got that.
Yeah, from that SiriusXM like EDM station. Can you play levels? Yeah. We love a VG. So I'll go off the BPM just to help people find what the actual beat is. And I think that's why it works. I think that's why people feel empowered, because for people who are rhythmically challenged, at least in class, they caught it.
Yeah, they get it.
There's you can dance for a minute.
Well, there's something
that's
else.
That's all I do, guys. I help people find their
There's something else to it, I think. Like if you go, everybody, we've been playing golf for forever, and there's been driving ranges for forever. But Top Golf came around and everybody.
That's a good.
All right. So there's something else to it.
Yes.
And what is it? It's the ball. It's the thing in the ball that scores you when you get in the thing. You can look up and you can play with your friends, and now it becomes very social. Like people have been riding bikes for forever.
Yeah.
But it is why did this thing take on a life of its own?
I mean, the fact that we all were on lockdown and couldn't move our bodies really helped. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Like, that kind of changed everything.
Y'all in Zoom. Peloton and Zoom.
That's when I got my bike, was COVID.
And then everyone was like, I want a bike. And it was so back ordered. And the weirdest part though, was like, I was living in New York in like a Cracker Box little studio apartment.
Well, not in 2023. Don't say
I don't think we say that anymore, actually.
Oh.
That's a joke. We're joking.
And canceled.
Like, guys, and you know the, did I'm you see the fear in my eyes for 2 seconds? I was like, no, it's over. I love
you were living in a small apartment.
I was, super tiny apartment.
Did you? But you lived in New York already?
No. I moved from California.
For Peloton? Really?
Guys, I moved.
For a job.
Yeah for a job.
Would do that.
I was super, here's the, I was really, really broke. I was literally living in a basement version. Have you ever been to Laurel Canyon? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in an old treehouse, I think it was haunted. I'm going to say Janis Joplin was like somehow.
It's like treehouse. It's not a treehouse.
It looked like a treehouse. There was a tree coming out of it. I'm not joking. It was a very strange thing. It was like this fake basement in California. There's no basements in California, but this thing was like maybe 6 feet tall. I'm 5 foot nothing. So it was like my little hobbit home. And I had a hot plate and I had a microwave. And that's where I lived while I was teaching like boxing fitness classes, until one of the instructors literally slid into my DMs and was like, do you want to audition for Peloton? I'm like, yeah, I'm really broke. I would love to, actually.
So were you posting about what you were doing?
Yeah, I was trying, trying to be a fitness influencer.
Yeah.
I look back at the old posts and I deleted a lot of them. They're so cringy. It's bad, guys. It was really bad.
Oh, the old fitness posts. Prior
to Peloton. Yeah. In fact, one of the instructors pulled me aside and was like, hey, before we officially launch you, you might want to delete a couple of these.
I got them here. These three are the ones. Yeah. Specifically these.
Yeah. He's like, let's go deep dive on Google and find them.
So so somebody reached out to you from New York and said, come
Cody
out,
did.
Fly out.
Yeah, Cody Rigsby.
Cody Rigsby? Mm-hmm. Nice. Our guy.
Yeah. Oh, I love Cody.
Yeah.
He's so awesome.
Shut up. It's Cody Rigsby. That's the one of the,
He's hilarious. And he's even funnier. And like, talk about somebody who is, that's him tame when he's on the bike, which is crazy.
Why would he, what did he doesn't own it.
No, I'm just saying.
Why would he reach out to you?
Oh, so at the time he was like scouting for talent. Like everybody, Peloton was such a startup.
Dude, that's crazy.
Like everyone had multiple jobs. Like it wasn't, oh, he's superstar Cody Rigsby.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, do you want to, you know, ride a bike on camera?
I mean, some money. I'm trying to think of when I, because like comedy, I guess, is when things become like too trendy, that's when we got to make jokes about them. Mm-hmm. Like when everybody's like
that inversion point. Yeah.
Yeah. Once it becomes like everybody's like, hey, we love this. We love this. We love this. Everybody loves this. I let's be honest about like the cold plunge.
Yes.
Like three months ago.
Do you have one?
No.
I can get you one for free.
I'm sure you can. Yeah, yeah.
No, seriously, I have a friend who owns one of the companies. Yeah.
Well, we were like, at Soho, like everyone is talking about it. And that's all the videos like,
I saw. It's going to change your life. The way it changes your neural capacity is amazing. Yeah. And then they brag about it. It's like, you know, I can sit in there for 6 minutes. I'm like, that is that really a flex?
I was like, all right, this has gone past the like, now we have to tell everybody like cold plunging is all anyone ever talks about. So we got to like, that's what happened to Peloton. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know when.
It happened really fast.
Yeah.
It was a weird, I remember when I launched, I think I had like 20,000 followers or something on Instagram, which was pretty decent at the time.
For a fitness influencer.
Guys.
In LA. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. You know, doing it for a little bit. And then I think within 6 months, I was at like 300,000.
Dang. Wow.
It just exploded because everybody got one. But the weird part was like living in my tiny apartment.
Treehouse.
This was my 500 square foot little studio that was way too expensive for what it was in Manhattan. It was disgusting.
Obviously.
It was brutal.
Well,
but yeah, then I was like, I had no idea that this was all happening. And I was just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to mosey into work and then, you know, wear my little hazmat suit and go back to my house because everyone was petrified.
Did you have to wear a mask? No.
Yeah. Oh, in New York. Yeah.
To ride?
They were talking about it. And then, but no.
That's crazy. Nuts.
Yeah. New York was so intense.
Still people wear masks up there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
It almost looks like Japan, like where you just wear it as part of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people,
Did you know about Peloton before you got recruited?
I kind of did. And then I got the opportunity. And the thing was, I never had taught a cycling class. Like I grew up boxing and taught boxing fitness, but I'm not allowed to say their name, but there's another very popular cycling brand.
Ooh, yeah.
No, it's just contractually. It's fine.
Well,
I never
think there's like, because like with, like we did during COVID, the CrossFit or like Iron Tribe is what I went. And it was when you like, I want to say you're, I don't know if you understand this comparison, like you go on a mission trip with somebody like from church and you're like digging wells in Uganda. Yeah. You feel like, closer to those people than you in your reality. You come back to church and you're like, oh, I didn't like when you work out, you know what I'm trying to say?
No, totally. You get this like familial kind of bond.
If it's with the instructor, like I'm still friends with some of the spin instructors that we took for like a summer or a winter, I guess. But like, there is a when you like. I guess go through something excruciating,
but
like,
but uncomfortable feel, and you cling to people
and you. And like the guy next to me, we were like in this together, but I don't know the guy. He's like just coming from the office. And I was like, dude, 30 more seconds. And we're like, what? We don't even know each other.
And he's like, yeah, but we're in it.
Yeah.
You're like, my sweat has been on the floor. It's been over close to you.
Yeah.
But imagine that times
on a big scale.
But well, every
and that's,
day.
Yeah. So a lot of people, that's what's interesting is that too, you know, it was me and literally no one else was in the room for about 2.5 years. So talk about feel like you're going crazy.
That's
There's
crazy.
Eight cameras. You have really loud music, but you have no energy coming back to you. Like, you know, when you're doing a show, you can kind of get the vibe of like, oh, this one landed, this didn't. I can at least work this. I mean, no, I'm sorry. Every single one of your jokes lands 100% of the time. It's not hard to. No, I'm not saying it doesn't. But that's the cool thing. Like,
subtle
it's
a shot.
You know, like obviously I've seen some videos like when the jokes don't work. You're like, whoa, what? You're like,
you know.
You know when you miss, you know?
John, you get it.
The one time.
Wait, I didn't know there was nobody in there.
For most of the classes, and especially during COVID, because they legally couldn't be. So our poor PAs, they would come in with gloves. Like, guys, it was the weirdest thing. Gloves and masks. and like try to adjust our microphones. And then we would just, the cameras would go live. We have the speed, like our directors above,
dude.
And would just tell you. And I'm looking at, like, I always joke, it's like a cat with a laser beam, because I just see a little red light on a camera. And then I just have to vibe out.
Yeah.
And you do that for years. So what, you know, what am I going to talk about? Yeah. I have nothing going on in my life. I got a puppy like everybody else did. And I live in 500 square feet. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to talk about life, or I'm going to talk about family, or this weird FaceTime. So that just
happened. The stuff happened organically because no one was in there.
Yeah, I think that's why I say crazy things now, because I'm just shocked to see people. Guys, I'm out of my, they let me out of my container.
You're like, it's just me in here.
Does anything not make the final cut?
No. It's all, so we have, I think, a 6 or 7 second delay.
Okay.
Which is not helpful, because like if anything actually happens, it's still like
when every camera's on you.
Yeah. Well, and then a bunch of people who ride, they will record the class themselves. So they record the pre-show. Oh, yeah. So the second the cameras are on, I just have to assume
it's going.
Someone is seeing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they put it on TikTok and then it gets really viral and popular and you're like, oh man.
You're like, this isn't not me, but it is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's a
heightened
like
version of you.
Yeah. like the fun parts. Or like the engaging.
You're very
part.
Boring in real life, but yeah, on occasion when you're on the bike, you're decent to hang out with.
Yeah, but we were out last night for a while, and mm-hmm. I think it's the same in my scenario. I guess if people see you, they want to meet the girl from the fun part.
Yes. Do you ever get weird about it where you feel like, I don't want to let these people down for not – do you feel like you have to be funny?
Well, I just say – I go, I don't want to like – think that I'm real. I mean, I do when I'm mm-hmm. but like, you just go meet the, oh, it's all dude. And then like, we gotta go.
You flip the switch. Yep.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
I mean, that's probably my only insecurity, but they want to meet him.
Yes.
The guy from the videos.
Yeah. They want to meet funny guy. They like, that's kind of the same thing. It's like, but it's interesting too, because over COVID, obviously we all were miserable. There was so much going on, and I've been very open about my mental health and stuff, or so much not going on, but going on in our heads.
We were all miserable. John, you know. What? You know.
Come on, you were miserable, dude. But seriously, it was not a great time for really anyone. We'd be lying if we said we were super happy during that.
Yeah.
And so people come up, and then when you share your life, it's like therapy. Like they'll come up and like, I've been through this, and it's a really beautiful thing. But then you're also like, wow, I need to hold space for this person right now. And they have such a deep relationship with you because they ride with you every day.
Yeah.
Like they truly feel like they know you, and you've been there through their divorces and their kids and their parents passing away and stuff. Like you're like their emotional support human.
Gosh.
Do you feel the same sense of community from your side?
I do. I felt it more now that we can have people in studio. Once we were allowed to have people back in, and then the community built through social media, and they're really lovely. And it just kind of, I feel it more now, but for a while it felt awkward. Like you feel like there's no way not to feel like a fraud. Cause you're just like, all of a sudden all these people came into your world and are really connected to you. And you're like, how did that? I don't know.
It's like, I'm trying to keep my own life together somehow.
And then you feel, And I'm like, I'm here motivating you. And it is honest. And a lot of times it's the advice I'm like, probably we could do a psychological deep dive. I'm like, that's the stuff I'm trying to tell myself. Yeah. Like, it's funny how it works.
We talked about there might probably a comparison where like that you are in doing something that is enriching people's lives. People have talked to me all the time. I've gone through depression. This lady said last night, she goes, I'm in the hospital for 2 months and I watch your clips, and I'm going to get like surgery for like radiation. Yeah. And like, I always, it was like, she said, my mom has her iPad and she watches your videos when she's, and it's like,
wow.
Mm-hmm. And like all the things that you've like brought all these people through the screen, but it's like, there's a lot of similarities to like, well, yeah. And it feels good to hear that you're like,
you're actually getting to help people and doing something that you love and reaching people in that way. That's the best part. Like that's the good side of social media is that it is, it's kind of like trying to scale a human connection. But the hard part is that you do lose, I guess, that level of like intimacy where you're one-on-one talking to somebody. Like there's nothing better than being able to finally just go out and have conversations and meet people face to face.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a really cool, powerful thing. And I think that's where, you know, I can joke about it all the time, but there is a level of like gratitude I know I have to have every day. And I do when you realize, oh wow, this is actually positively affecting people. And it makes you look at yourself and hold what you do a little bit different.
It's like that. It's like a it's like an aspect of like escapism for like from both of your performances and what you both do. It's like it's giving people that kind of like break retreat from their day to day. It's a window that they can kind of unplug from everything and just kind of let go.
Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. But and it's cool to get to be that person that helps people do that.
But there is, we always talk about this in the on the pod. It's like, yeah, there is, but there's also, unfortunately, another side of it. Oh, like an underbelly. Like if it's like I feel like you would might have to be like a, if a woman comes up to you versus a man.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? Is that a fair question? That you're like,
but it's interesting too. I think in today's world, a lot of guys are really, really careful because they're so afraid of coming off in a creepy way, which I respect. And then the, you know, the situation I told you about, I was on the plane the other night and this guy was just, you know, really excited. And it, the excitement, the excitement is appreciated, but he was drinking. I don't know what he had. It was probably like his third whiskey. This was funny. We were sitting up towards the front of the plane and he's like, I want to buy her a drink. And the, this really sassy flight attendant.
Like, who are you talking to?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the, no like the god of the plane. Yeah. Like, he's like, pilot, bring her a drink.
And then, this really. Lead. Whoa, yeah, chill.
You're like, okay.
It's first class. Your first time. You're like,
and the flight attendant comes by and he goes, you're in mint, sir. It's all free. Like, he was so sassy about it.
You don't have time for this. Yeah. Cody just, Rigsby came by. I was like, how are you here? Yeah.
But Cody's really, the thing is too, it's like Cody's a really tall guy. And the way that people approach is different too. Like, I'm a lot shorter than people. I don't know. People seem to think I'm tall. I also think I'm 6 foot. I'm definitely not. But they kind of, it's an interesting how women come up versus how men come up. And, but then on occasion, you know, people just come up and like, they start crying and you're like,
Oh, we're into it.
Yeah. Well, I
think we were out last night. I feel like there was women that would come up and be like, oh my God. And it was like, I feel like just because we were there with you, if there was like a guy, we would be
guys
like.
Guys usually don't. Or they're they're very cautious. I appreciate that. Unless you're the dude behind me on the plane that wanted to buy me a drink.
What is, you do, it's a one-way interaction. Because I feel like a lot of times the videos are going from me, the YouTube, the podcast, the Instagram videos, this way to this way. Mm-hmm. And then you come this way and you're like, all right, what's your name? Like, we have to start from the beginning this way. Yeah.
Well, because they, you know, you already know everything about me. Because they know so much about you. And this is what's kind of wild. Like, I talk about my family a lot and very close to my parents. My mom and dad both ride. And now when like my parents are going
both
around.
What?
They both ride the Peloton.
I thought they said red. Read? That's
They both read.
Yeah. She's like, they both vote Republican. They're both red.
They both read.
Nice, dude. They both
read. And someone's going to fire me for my job for that one. Yep. I live in New York, guys. That would never go.
Not anymore.
Why didn't you just move down to here and start doing the Peloton down here?
Because we film up there. I would love to.
Pack the cameras up and come down here.
You guys,
let's do it right here.
I'm down.
No, but we were like locked down for like a week.
Yeah,
I know. Well, and then what I came to find out too is Jersey allowed people to be in restaurants and New York City didn't. So my poor parents came to visit me. Well, my parents came to visit. I didn't know this. And my poor dad was eating outside. It was like during winter. They came 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
I had to get him a park guide. He's like, this sucks. And they live in Palm Springs. They live in the desert, you guys. Tough. It's like 110 degrees.
So what are we doing here? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and then I came to find out like 2 weeks before everything reopened in New York. Jersey was like, oh, you could have been eating inside all the time. We never did that. Yeah. I was like, you mean a 15-minute ride and I could have been able to have a pizza? Like,
could have had my life back?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that was part of it. Maybe the lockdown was kind of part of how your personality like came to be.
Mm. I think so. It definitely did damage. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because I talked to myself. I was in a 500 square foot apartment with a dog. Like, what else was I going to do?
Dang. And when did the comments are all there?
What do you mean the comments?
The comments are, people are live commenting.
So they can't, thank goodness they can't. No, they can high five.
How'd you get in trouble with all the names?
Oh, all the names. Yes. Yeah. So, well, there's a couple things. One, the one that really went viral was because my brain just jumped between like activating your glute muscles and where you should put your mind.
Yeah.
And it just all became one.
What did you say? Put it in the back or something like that.
Yeah. Put it in the booty.
Very, very put it in the booty. Yeah.
And I did have people in the room, and then they all started.
And that
laughing.
Was the guy's name?
No, that was my brain.
Right, she was just being motivational.
Yeah. Put it in the booty. Yeah.
That was, oh gosh, you guys, that was bad.
And there's that you were with live with people. Mm-hmm. Then? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the chat fills up with ha-has and everything.
Well, we were in the studio, so thankfully I can't see what people are saying. But because it kind of went viral and stuff on TikTok and people were talking about it, then people start changing their leaderboard names to really inappropriate things. So you guys will love this. So
is it easy to do?
Change your username.
You can do that pretty easy, right?
Yeah. And usually, so we usually have, I'm just waiting, dude. And I know I'm asking for it. Whoever listened to this, and they try to do this to me. They try to like catch me and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm usually pretty good at catching it and not saying it. But one of the worst ones was this guy had his, had a photo. It's him in a birthday hat or like a, whatever. It was his birthday. People get really serious when it's their milestone. Oh, so yeah, it's like it's their 800th ride and their birthday.
Yeah.
And it's easier for me to see. So they have like
their actual birthday, not their anniversary of riding, their birthday.
No, their true birthday and whatever the milestone is. So this guy, he, it was, his name was Haywood, H-A-Y-W-O-O-D. And I was like, Haywood, it is your birthday. It's your 800th ride. I'm so excited for you. Haywood, Jablomi, congratulations. It was it was J-A-B-L-O-M-I. With an underscore between the Haywood. I went right into it.
That's like not,
But I've seen weird names and it's like, you know, Nick S, 2755, like, you know, random stuff. And when you're calling out,
but it's also live, dude. Yes. It's live. You're like, dude, and not, a, not like I'm like live multiplied by a workout.
Yeah.
Like you're not, right.
Your brain isn't, like my brain is trying to focus on move. So there's multiple things happening too. There's eight cameras. I'm teaching a class. I'm trying to catch the beat and the music. I have programming I need to do. And then I also need to give like 200 shout outs to people as many as, because they get mad. People get really pissed if you don't give them their shout outs.
They wait for it.
And then, again, the DMs, they go off. They're like, you didn't give me my shout out. Sorry. There's I was trying to teach a class.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's always another 100 you can take.
Yeah.
Maybe that's we'll all.
But you can't be shouting out people the whole time.
No, because then would just be like a graduation ceremony that you're riding a bike for.
Yeah. That's
awful. Literally, that's all it
is. What do you want? Yeah.
There's a sketch in that too. The graduation. Your graduation ceremony is a Peloton instructor.
Why I mean, I was homeschooled, so that kind of was it.
Nice. Yeah. First impressions matter. Oh yeah, that first thing that someone notices about you. In most cases, it's your
face.
Face, and more importantly, your skin. Time to put your best face forward. How do you do that? By adding in a skincare routine, fellas. You know what? It's not that hard. You just have to have the right tools. And now you do with.
Oh, sorry, Carl Darrow Lab. Come on, sorry, I was reading ahead.
I put you on the spot.
Carl Darrow Lab.
Carl Darrow Lab, the leader in men's. Hey, sorry, ladies, not today. The leader in men's skincare, and clinical trials have found 94%. I'm 97%. That's a shout out to an old joke of mine. That's not in this. It's not in the ad read. I found 94% of men's skin showed an overall younger looking appearance. What? Found 94% of men's skin showed an overall younger looking appearance. Oh, with Caldera Lab.
We can attest for that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've looked younger as we've gone on using it.
I feel younger. Yeah. Use our code exclusive NetPositive20 at CalderaLab.com. Enjoy 20% off the best products Caldera Lab has to offer. And I got a shelf full of them.
Yeah. You guys have heard us talk about it. This is the full, you get the full bundle, the whole regimen. You're going to get that clean slate, the base layer, the good. Those are your three go-tos on a daily basis. And then also you can get the Icon. That one's going to get rid of your fine lines, dark circles, and puffiness underneath your eyes.
You ever seen somebody like that? You're like, what is that guy doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see some guys like that sometimes.
You can see they're living life hard.
Like, man, that guy looks great.
Yeah.
Oh, the opposite.
Oh, sorry. I was saying.
Oh, yeah. I can see that too.
Yeah.
You just see on his face.
Yeah. Pre-Caldera Lab.
Have you ever gone to like, you ever get in your TikTok, you get those like, pimple doctor or something like that?
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
That's if you don't have this.
Yeah.
You know, I like to watch them.
Really?
Yeah. Then they're just, it's gone. It's gone astray. Don't let that happen to you.
No.
That's not in the copy. Caldera Lab, baby. Made with top tier ingredients and is great addition to your daily routine. Take less than a minute. Morning and night, here to reduce your wrinkles, fine lines, and signs of aging. Fellas or ladies, give it to your man as a gift. Get this man suited up with Caldera Lab. Get 20% off with your code NetPositive20 at CalderaLab.com. That's 20% off at CalderaLab.com using the code NetPositive. Don't let time pass you by. I think that's a Bible verse.
NetPositive20.
Start looking younger today with Caldera Lab. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year?
I did not.
5 billion. That's a lot. And if it's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water. Think about that, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions.
Ugh.
Plus, Alex, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia.
Gross.
That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Or Blue Land. That's the alternative.
It sure is.
All that I just read. Blue Land is a sponsor of the podcast, baby, and they're on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to better for you and the planet. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
The idea is simple. They offer endless refillable cleaning products with beautiful, cohesive designs that look great on your counter. Can attest. I wonder if somebody comes over to my house, if I had like a, they're like, dude, these are all podcast products.
Probably.
Everything in my house.
Yeah, probably.
Everything in my house is a podcast product.
Yeah.
Well, I need to get a Peloton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get a Peloton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fill your bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You'll never have to grab a bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, laundry tablets, Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients. You can feel good about it. Yeah, so when I went over on that safari, they don't have like a bottle of water. They go, what?
Yeah.
We don't do that. We got rid of that a long time ago. You just have to bring a bottle.
Yep.
Then you just fill it. They don't, yeah. I think that with the waste situation, it affects so many things.
Oh, definitely.
They're like, we can't have a bottle of water.
No.
Blue Land, baby. It's a special offer for our listeners right now. Get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/net positive. Don't miss it. Blueland.com/net positive for 15% off, baby. Get yourself fitted up. Get your house smelling nice. Mm. Do what's good for the environment. You can feel better about yourself. And you can do other bad things in other categories because think about it. You've done good in this one.
True.
Not in the copy. Blueland.com for 15% off. Blueland.com/net positive.
Can we go back to that, to your homeschool experience? Like how was your like youth experience and everything with that?
Well, this I feel like just got, how was your youth experience?
Yeah.
So what it was, I grew up as a very failed kid actor, like got very close in a lot of jobs in LA. And I know. Here comes the trauma. actually, though, there is definitely something there.
We just go, there it is.
Now you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's all piecing together. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of the dots are connecting.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah. But because I was working enough and, you know, they want you to work as an adult because it's not healthy and they don't want to pay for a school teacher. So you, if you can graduate early, Hollywood elites.
Yeah.
No, but it's easier when, so technically if I graduated high school early, I could work as an adult. I could technically be 18. This is not sounding good now that I'm saying all this. This is very Hollywood. This tracks. So
technically 18 is wild.
They wanted me to let me know. I was technically
they just wanted
18.
Me to kind of be 18, but not actually be 18, but like 16
and
graduated.
Oh, you didn't grow up there. You grew up in LA?
I grew up most of my childhood in LA. Okay. Like we moved there when I was about 11. I was born in Texas. We lived in Georgia, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Just the burbs of ATL.
What and city?
Gino Johns Creek.
Oh, yeah. It's a rich people. I live in Lilburn. No, Johns Creek is rich. What?
We weren't in the super rich neighborhood. Okay, we were in the generally.
What year?
We moved in 2003.
That might have been a little pre Johns Creek.
I think they rebranded it Johns Creek. They did a full rebrand. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, rich white people. What are they going to do? They're bored.
So then you moved out to LA. Did everybody move for you?
Kind of. Yeah.
Because Kendall's got a future in Hollywood.
Well, I got these agents and we all thought I was going to go. My brother wanted to change from Atlanta. You're just grimacing at me right now. I love this.
He'll be fact checking on the way home.
Yeah. He'll be like, Kendall, that was a lie. That was a lie.
I have notes. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll DM you guys and be like, listen.
Well, so you had to get him involved?
No,
he didn't want to go out.
I don't want to speak for you. You did want to go. You were ready to leave. Yeah. And he loved it. Everybody in California loved you. Georgia boy. They called him Georgia boy.
Nice. Oh, yeah, Georgia boy.
Georgia boy.
But that's a lot. I feel like I shouldn't speak for you, but if you're like, for you. You're what did he have to do? Nothing. Like he was just out there.
He just got to enjoy life.
Yeah, he's like, this rules. He's like, we're here for you. So go do something.
Yeah, it was kind of wild that way. Yeah. My dad he kind of got his dream job in Florida. So he would travel back and forth. And my parents, I mean, they knew it was my dream. They were so supportive.
That's unbelievable.
It's incredible. But I mean, guys, I'm still in therapy. So clearly, it did some damage.
Gosh.
Yeah. And I had a very terrible acting coach that probably did a lot of damage too. And, you know, when you're 11 years old and people are telling you time is money, it's a really.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Wow. It's not and, you know, I saw a lot of people who are very popular today. And now that all these stories are coming out about Nickelodeon and Disney, breaks my heart because it's like, yeah, I saw all that go on. And there were parties that went on when we were like 13. I'd be like, Mom, can you pick me up? Like, there's drugs here. I need to leave. It was crazy.
Like, they were throwing parties for like kid actors, and they were...
The kid actors themselves would throw parties. The parents would then like drink with them and bring alcohol and do drugs with them. It was crazy.
Oh, sheesh.
It was not a place to grow up ever.
Yeah, I think you look back at like... if there's like any kind of whatever you call star power or like a professional athlete or celebrity, the age thing kind of gets, you're like, wait, but he's 40 and they're 20. It doesn't really, but then like once someone gets canceled or gets, then you go, wait, this interview is now weird because that's a kid. Mm-hmm. But when it's like,
they're like, because everybody believes the best. Yeah. Like you think, well, of course that person's not that way. No, if you have an inkling, they probably are.
Mm-hmm. Or like,
they probably are.
What? Like what? Why is this 13-year-old here? But you're also very like,
but you're mature developed. At that age. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So it's
and that's
tricky.
What's confusing because you do grow up so fast because you see so much, and you have. I mean, a lot of the kids. Thank goodness this wasn't my family at all. But like, they support their parents. Mm-hmm. Like I had 15-year-old friends who were on these big TV shows. They bought their parents' house. Like they were paying the mortgage. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
And technically there's laws against it. Like you have a certain percentage of your paychecks that go into account to protect kid actors. 20% isn't going to do anything. And the parents are taking more. And then the pressure you see at auditions, like it was wild. My mom and I had a great, stage moms are so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're diabolical. So talk about like, it was Mean Girls on steroids. So my mom and I, we had a great kind of way we would go about it. We would put our little, at the time, iPod shuffles in.
Nice.
Hey.
Headphones in.
John's
going to the audition.
Bro.
We got an iPod shuffle and an iPod mini.
But no AirPods, not at the time.
No, I'm older than that for sure.
The shuffle with the AirPod? No, that was way later. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'd go in and the rule was we're not going to talk to anybody. You have your sides, like your scene.
Yeah.
You're prepared. I will hold your headshots. If anybody tries to talk to you, I will take care of it. Oh, you do not mess with my mom. She is.
Yeah.
She's great.
Tools, a real last name.
Isn't that awful?
Mrs.
It is.
Tool.
Mrs. Tool.
No, I don't think
she
it's
doesn't
awful.
Love. She doesn't love going by Mrs. Tool.
Oh, she doesn't.
She's Susie.
Okay, Susie. Sorry, sorry, Susie.
No, it's okay. She'll be like, it's okay, honey. Be careful. Yeah. She will literally probably follow you and comment on every single one. She will like everything you do the second you post it. She is like a consummate cheerleader. Oh, yeah.
She
loves
that energy. Oh, yeah. More of that.
Susie's great. And there's a lot of leopard print and sparkles.
Nice.
On everything's bejeweled.
So you go into these, you're in these auditions.
Yeah, so we're in these auditions. And I would, go in, go to the audition, which by the way, auditioning is the scariest.
Oh yeah. I've done it.
Oh, it's terrible.
And everybody looks like you.
Yeah. It's weird. it's all these different versions of you.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, but that one had all this, one had all these jobs and why it's a total mind game. And then we would walk to the car and we weren't allowed to talk about the audition until we'd get in the car.
Did
and then
go
this
to the
was
audition
helpful.
Or no, not in the room.
Not in the room.
She was staying
in
the lobby.
She was, because at that point I was 12, 13, 14, which again, guys, that's weird. As an adult now. You have 7-year-olds going into rooms by themselves with a bunch of adult people staring at them and they're performing for cameras.
Dude.
It's weird. And a door's closed.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Adults.
Any other scenario and that's unacceptable.
Exactly. But in Hollywood, it's normal.
Doctor's office, your parents go in with you.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Yeah. Exactly. Like pediatrician. Yeah.
Your parents are there.
And there should be more privacy in a doctor's scenario.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And
this is a kid. This is a child.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we would get back to the car and then we'd talk about the audition. She would always say, okay, 20 minutes. And then once that's done,
20 minutes
we don't talk
plane or to
just talk about
it.
How I felt because I was a consummate overthinker and super hard on myself, which also being in that industry will do it to you.
Yep.
And I was already built that way anyway. So she's like, all right, then after 20 minutes, we're done. We let it go.
Yeah.
And then the weird part was like, you're waiting for the phone to ring that you got a call back and then you go to producers and then you see the two other people and you're all signing a contract that says we might get this job.
Yeah.
And then you get the heartbreaking call from your agent that no, you're not flying to Australia. Your life is not going to change. It's not going to happen for you.
And then
you do it again and again and again.
Yeah. What the end part of this is? You see the thing and that was right. They should have chosen him.
It's going through a breakup and then finding out the truth.
And you see the commercial, whatever. I had a Fast X. I had an audition for.
Nice.
For like, I don't, I think it was like an, a valet or something.
But nice. Still,
or
it's
a guy, and I go, I played the character this way. And I go, oh, I got it. Like, I got, they're going to love that. And then I saw it. And I go, you know what? That he, they should have taken him.
Who ended up getting it?
Yeah. I have no, it was no, not someone popular.
It was just how they played.
It was like very extra, like not an extra, but it's a speaking role. But I go, that was a better choice.
That's a fit.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But then you're like, yep, he got me on. He got me on that one, that valet.
What types of roles were you going out for?
I mean, literally anything. A lot of TV, a lot of movies. I was very, very, very close. This was probably the most heartbreaking one because I was so young. I was very close for way back when they remade Charlotte's Web.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And then the offer was out to Dakota Fanning, and she and I had the same agent. And my agent was like, it looks like it's going to happen. We're going to, you're going to be in Australia.
Dude, you can't say that.
Oh, it was, you guys. And then Rug got pulled. I was like, this is finally happening. This is like my, and you know, it's Charlotte's Web. We grew up like reading that book. It was like the dream role. I'm crying in the audition for the, you know, when Charlotte dies, all this stuff. Killed it. And then I guess Dakota had a film that fell through. And so obviously she had the offer on the table. She's like, yeah, let's do this. And then, I mean, Oprah played one of the voices. Like it was such a huge movie. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, that one was tougher. I think that probably did some brain damage. Just the disappointment on that one. But yeah, there was that. There was a lot of TV shows you get close on. It's weird. And then commercials. I did a lot of voiceover work.
Oh, yeah.
Which that was fun and weird.
It's like a, yeah, they don't know that's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would voice match people that I had no business voice matching.
Oh, yeah. You put this as me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you, like real human, not like a cartoon.
Yeah. So like when they did, because I was so cheap because I was so unfamous.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh, can you just do a couple of these lines? That way we don't have to bring the actor in. And I was like, okay. And so, you know, whatever.
Well,
it was good money.
The thing, I feel like the thing with the child actors and like there's a lot of like, sometimes there's like, pastors or let's even say country music stars and they're like they're out let's say they're out on the road or the pastor is narcissistic or abusive and you go why didn't I go well everyone else around here is hooked into this so like the mom why didn't the mom not in your case but in the other people why didn't the mom stand up for the kid or why didn't the agent say hey it's inappropriate to be doing drugs when there's 13 year olds here because if someone brings
someone
this house
the whistle
down
and said something.
It's all, we're all unemployed. Everybody,
exactly.
Yeah,
and
we're
I
all
think
on the hook.
There's this
everybody's
odd,
on the hook.
Yeah. There's this odd if I don't see it. And people are really the very nefarious people in Hollywood are so good at patting themselves with people and with yes people that oh, they'll just put somebody else in a different room. Or they'll lie. They'll say no, this is what really happened on set.
Yeah.
And like a mom will hear a different story than what's happening to the kid. Granted.
Yeah.
Like, okay, my future children, there ain't no way.
There's no way I
want. There's like if they want, if they fall in love with acting and they want to do it, that's awesome. You can do community theater and you can go to college for it.
If you want to act, we can do that. But you're not going over.
Like we're not. You're not doing Hollywood.
Yeah, we're not doing
and that. I would literally be there every step of the way. Like they'd hate me. I think they'd. I'd be so present. They'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore. You suck, mom. You're terrible. I'd be like, yep, I am. Thank you.
Can they take Peloton classes?
When they're legally, once they're over the age of 13 and can
13,
actively,
you have to be 13?
I think it's 13. I believe.
Take a class?
I believe it's 13.
Just because of the size. You have to be an adult.
And we obviously want, you know, you don't want any kid getting on workout equipment that they shouldn't be on.
You know what? That's probably fair.
Do people get addicted to Peloton?
Yes.
Like, do people ride too much?
Yes. And in fact, it makes me upset too, because they'll put stack eight or nine classes.
Whoa.
And I'm like, you guys, like, at a certain point, it's not like this is not functional for your body. And you have to cross train. Like it's great to do cycling classes, but I'm always telling people like use the app, please lift a weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like do other things for your body or your hips
lift
are going to hurt if you do too
weight.
Much.
Eat a vegetable.
One single. Yeah. Well, that's where you start. If you start with one, you'll get to two, you know?
How many do you do a day?
Depends on what work asks. So I have a rolling like 2-week schedule. And sometimes whenever I teach live, it's either one class or two. Usually up to a full time on the bike, like up to an hour. And then sometimes I'll teach like 3 to 4 classes even before that, just recorded. It's a lot.
Dang.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then I also have to train my own body.
You have to do it. You also have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can, with the bike, I take pride in this. I do not phone it in.
Yeah.
Metal rides, which are awful. I will go on the lower range because I have to talk through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ragey. I had one Monday. Awful. So terrible, but fun.
Well, I mean, I've taken spin class before, and it was like, I think I've had the joke about the white girls yelling rap music, because mm-hmm. it was like I went to,
it happens everywhere,
like Tupac versus Biggie day.
Oh, what a great,
like,
day.
Theme days.
Yeah,
yeah, but I was, yeah, like, I don't know if Tupac, like, I don't know if this is his message.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, yeah, if he, like, he's like, I died think, for this.
Yeah, he's like, really? I died, yeah, for, like, some, like, little bubbly, yeah, blonde white chick to be like, yeah.
She's like, my ambition. He's like, ambitious, my ambition. Rider. Yeah, and it's, yeah, like a rider, a Peloton rider. You're like, well, that. Yeah,
you're like, yeah, you're like, okay, yeah, I don't think that's, yeah, what he meant. Yeah, yeah.
But I think, he would have been into it.
I think,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, Tupac would have been, yeah.
I think he'd be down for, like, hey, listen, it's making people happy and they're being kind to each other.
Who chooses the music?
We do.
You personally?
So that's the other part of the job.
Like, I'm a full DJ.
Well, we have kind of this cool software that allows us to do a crossfade. So it's almost like our own version of Spotify.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And we do all the playlisting.
Yeah.
So if you hate a class playlist, don't look at anybody but the instructor.
Well, when I see it, it's like a combination of, so when I, like, have interacted with your content, there is this idea that, like, people have, like, not like, you want people to be, it's like fun and like flirty and like, mm-hmm, but there is, it does, like, when does it go too far? Cause I feel like you, mm-hmm, like, you were like, some of the lyrics, you like, I'm not singing that.
Yeah.
Or I'm not.
Well, there's obviously certain, like, it's a tough line too.
I don't know,
right?
Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like,
yeah. Yeah, like, I'm not, well, for example, too, like, my parents take my rides, or I'm like, okay, there are, like, a lot of kids that take my rides. Yeah. I don't want to be, it's definitely a fine line of like, I'm not going to sing certain parts of the song. Yeah. And sometimes I make a joke about it, like, I'm not singing that part because, if I'm playing, like, from the window to the wall.
Doja Cat's hard.
Yeah. I'm like, we're going to, I mean, I did the Megan Thee Stallion ride, and that was like, and what was great, her team was like, whoever does this, we don't want it edited. And I, for me, especially when it
edited,
comes.
They don't want the song edited.
No, because that's how she intended it. And that's also the hard part too, right? It's like.
It's art, yeah.
Yeah, I never want to edit an artist, even if there's words I would never say and will never say, it's not my job, because I think that's wrong of me to edit it too. That's not my call.
Yeah.
So you just kind of like, all right, if there's a song that it's really out there and I'm like, or there's words and I'm like, oh, this might not be the vibe.
Yeah.
Let's not. But then if it's a hip hop ride and it's happening late at night, it just depends. Or if there's people in the room.
Would it matter if it was late at night?
Sometimes, I don't know.
Think about that.
I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, it's a little, like, bit 8, chill. We'll think about it. Like, if it's 8 a.m. on a Sunday, because I teach 8 a.m. every other Sunday.
No, that's the word, because those people aren't in church.
So they're not. I know. And then I'm like, oh. And then I kind of feel bad. Like, hello, the Catholic guilt. I'm like, God's looking down on me, saying, Kendall.
Oh, yeah, Kendall.
You played that song. Yeah, that's not glorifying me
right now.
You're
stealing from my congregation. They're coming to see you on Sunday morning instead of me.
I'd be like, listen, okay, now go to church. Go see your pastor.
Yeah. So there's like a fun, the same with our shows where it's like,
yeah, you got to be careful.
You want to kind of cross the line. Yeah. Like, well, a little.
That's also where humor comes from. Yeah. That's also where connection comes from, is that, you have to know how to play it. You have to know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you, I think it's just instinct and people getting, people getting pissed at you and you're like, okay, well, I could take some feedback.
If you go too far.
Yeah. But people also, it's a tough line. Like, people are going to be triggered by certain things because of their own context, and they have a right to feel that way.
Yeah.
But I also have a right to be like, okay, I can understand where you're coming from. But if I allowed everybody feeling upset about something that I did to dictate how I do my job, I would truly just be like a little robot that's like reading your leaderboard names. And now we're out of the saddle. Like,
if they said, hey, Kendall, it's too much. Mm-hmm. If whoever the powers to be over there, you're like, oh, I'm going to turn into something that's not me then. Like, the reason there's they like line. Me is because I, like, same with,
like, the metal rides. Like, and there's people who are like,
what do you mean, metal music?
Metal music, and, like, screamo, death metal stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, and then they're like, you wear a cross, but, this is worshiping Satan. I'm like, first off, it's music, number one. Yeah. Number two, you'd be shocked about how many metal artists. I'm like, no, they're like, Alice Cooper, like, loves Jesus. Like, he talks about it.
He's like in the carpool line.
Yeah, I mean, he's a, oh my gosh, I would, you guys, what a baller. Yeah. I know, and I swear, like, the eyeliner is never going to leave. And he's just taking it to the bank. And, most metal people are really, really lovely, too, and, like, they've been through a lot, and there's a lot of, like, mental health stuff, so they're very kind individuals. But I'm like, okay, you're taking something at surface value, right? And I think, you just have to learn how to ride that line. And
Also, you're working out. Why do you have time for these thoughts? Yeah.
I know. I'm like, man, I must. And I'm like, add more resistance. At that point, I'm like, if you can be in that workout and hate it that much, either don't take my class or, and they can see if it's explicit. Mm-hmm. Like if people get offended by language, I understand that. Okay. Right. Then don't take my hip hop class.
You guys have, does community have like meetups?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They do. What's so the big TikTok? That's not your
Oh,
page.
Oh, Never Knocked Out Crew.
Yeah. Who are they?
So this,
have you ever met them?
Yeah. They come to class a lot. They're all over the country. They're awesome. What's really lovely too is like, I don't have anything to do with it. It just kind of popped up one day.
Wow.
There was a battle of the crews. There was one crew called the Knockouts, and then there was Never Knocked Out crew. But they, you guys, it's all safe now. They've joined as one.
Oh, they have?
They united this year, which is great, honestly, because it's people, you know, they take what happens in class, and I'm really grateful. They take like the messages and the things that I talk about, like mental health and stuff, and then they put it into action with their own people. So it's a lot. It's a bunch of moms. It's a bunch of, I mean, the whole gambit. And they'll go like, hey, we're all going to go to the beach today. Or, hey, they love their spicy margaritas. That's gotta be unbelievable. Which I love. It's cool.
Oh, yeah. You know, we were at Red Door last night. And she goes, what do you want to drink? She goes, spicy margarita. And I went up to the Red Door. Like, this is the dive bar.
Thank you for that.
He goes, can you make a spicy margarita? He goes, no. He's like, and he goes, thank God. Even if I could, I wouldn't. Yeah. That's what he said. But that's your thing.
I do love, it's the tequila, and it's being from the West Coast.
Spicy margarita. Well, we were at the, right before you came, Megan Maroney was.
I'm so pissed I missed her. I love her.
She's great. There was, we were all back there.
I bet she had a spicy margarita.
I had to. Mm-hmm. There's a girl that couldn't get in, so I'm going to introduce her.
Yeah.
And then there's the gate. I mean, the line was around the block.
Yeah.
She couldn't get in, and she was watching from side stage crying.
Wow.
And she loved her so much.
Loved her.
Wow.
And I go, man, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. That like, and it's like if this group of people have like found a common like goal, not even a goal, like they've shared something together, and are together, like, and it's for good. It's you're working out, improving.
It's positive, dude.
Like, I get so frustrated at people. I'm like, dude, be about anything.
Yep.
Anything. Like, be about.
Have a community. Like, and that's what matters. That's what helps people connect and get. I mean, life is hard. Life is not easy. And it's not hurting anybody. It's honestly the coolest thing because it's bringing people together. They're happy.
That's a great.
And like the support stories. Like, there was a younger girl and she couldn't afford to fly to New York City to come to class. Everybody pitched in and bought her ticket and her hotel stay. And because she really wanted to come to class. And then they all hung out and people who like felt like they didn't necessarily have community or friends that understood them or they're feeling seen and they all take the emo rides all the time. Like, cause I love obviously pop punk music. Yeah. Like, we all had our phase. And so I love to play it and it's awesome. And that's kind of what started that crew was they really love the pop punk stuff. And then it just boomed and boomed and boomed.
Mud Water is back as a sponsor for the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, a coffee alternative with 4 adaptogenic mushrooms and Ayurvedic herbs with only a fraction of the caffeine as a cup of coffee. You get the energy without the anxiety, jitters, or the crash of coffee. I throw coffee in there, and for my own personal, I would throw Red Bull in there.
Mm.
Yeah, that'll get you good, but it gets you gassed up. Not with Mud Water, baby. No. Leans on mushrooms and their blend of matcha and a blend of chai for sustained energy. Each ingredient was added with a purpose. Lion's mane, that's mushrooms, for alertness. You want to cover this one?
Cordyceps
to help support physical performance. Changa and reishi to support your immune system. This sounds like something from a Willie Nelson podcast, baby. Turmeric, I know what that is, for soreness. Cinnamon for antioxidants. Mud Water, it's MUD/WTR, is 100% USDA organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher certified. Mud Water believes the country is in a mental health epidemic, which it is, and sees Mud Water as a useful tool for individuals with depression. Oh, we talked about this literally on this podcast.
Yeah.
Depression, PTSD, anxiety, and other mental health experiences. Do something for yourself and take care of yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Mud Water, MUDWTR.com/net positive to support the show. And as always, use code NETPOSITIVE, 15% off, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you talk about that tagline and where that came from that you end your rides with? Can you talk about that?
So it's going to get a little heavy, guys. Get ready. So in my senior year of college.
I don't think you've heard this podcast before if you think this is going to get heavy. We've talked about a lot of things.
I know. That's true. Yeah. I know. I tend to be like, oh, guys, if it's like, it was such a lightweight conversation. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I don't know how to not.
It's tissues here.
Yeah. Everybody, it's getting emotional. No, I appreciate the comedic break before we get into this. And darkness. So my college.
Dim the lights.
Yeah, truly. Ready? We need like the crazy, the nice little music. Like. I'm thinking of a game show. I can't think
fog
of
fog rolls in around your ankles. Right. Yeah.
But
what is it, first of all?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's about how bad my mental health got. So
no, what's the tagline?
Oh, the tagline.
Really,
oh.
Dude?
Guys, I'm still thinking about the fog.
Just all the terrible places I've been to in my mind.
I know, really
for people that don't know.
Oh, the tagline. Yeah, so the tagline is, tagline came from my dad. It's great. Love this. They're like, she really is an airhead. Oh. Like, yeah. But it came from my dad, and it was, they can knock you down, but they can never knock you out. And I grew up, but he had in our basement in Atlanta, he would put up this punching bag and he like would play Rocky music. And we love Rocky, obviously, great film. And he would get after the bag. And I remember like hearing those chains go. And whenever he was pissed at work or had stuff going on, he would hit the bag, hit the bag, hit the bag. And so it kind of just became something we would say. If my brother were here, he would be like, yep, that was just like the family motto. And so my mental health got really, really dark. And I've talked about this publicly, but I was in a bad place and trigger word, but like was suicidal and almost went through with it. And went home from college and was with my parents and was having a ton of trouble just like taking care of myself, getting out of bed, showering, like the basic stuff. And he came up to my room and was like, listen, I need to level with you. If you don't start taking care of yourself, like we're going to have to put you in inpatient. It would have pushed me graduating. It was like my worst nightmare. I still have like stress dreams waking up like, I didn't graduate on time. Like it was such a big moment. And he was like, what do I always tell you? What is it? And he's like, this can knock you down, but this will never knock you out. And he's like, I need you to make the choice to get back up. You need to fight this. And I get emotional talking about it, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so when I was teaching my boxing fitness classes in LA, I started closing out the classes that way. And then in my audition for Peloton, I don't know why. And I was, you know, obviously on adrenaline and all these cameras and what's going on. And I closed out the class that same way. And that's kind of what started it. So Never Knocked Out was like, is a shortened version of it. And so it really is. It's that motto of like, you're going to go through hell a million times. And it's just choosing and making the selection like, okay, this can almost completely end me, but it's not going, I'm not going to allow it. There's still another choice. Yeah.
Dude. I love that.
We were talking last week on the podcast about like I needed a day off and I just had to do everything at my house. Like I had to like clean my house, clean the kitchen, shower. And
yeah, just be
like,
a human.
I go, yeah, we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. I go, dude, it takes so much to live.
Yeah, to just adult,
just
yes.
To mm-hmm. take care of your body.
And to get groceries and to cook good food. It's a whole.
And I go, yeah, I've like struggled with depression and I've been on mm-hmm. antidepressants before, but I go, I don't think I have. I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
But I go, imagine, this is what I said last week. I go, imagine all these things mm-hmm. with, I don't have the motivation to do it.
Yeah. And then the shame, like so much of it's shame-based too. Gosh. And like when that's you grow up with.
On the show, by the way, the shame-based stuff we talk about a lot. Yeah.
And it's so real because that's, I mean, my whole, acting didn't help. I had this brain since birth. Like when my mom, she tells me the story, like, she would try to change my diaper when I was a baby. And if there was a wrinkle on a sheet underneath me, I would throw a fit. So my brain has always been I've been very like environmentally aware and very irritated by certain things. And so there's always been a voice in my head. And like now I joke and like I call her Tina. She's such a bitch. I hate her. Tina's awful.
Oh, the inside voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's helped to personify it. Again, thank you. Lots of therapy and antidepressants. Like, because I want people to know, yes, I'm on an antidepressant. It is helped my life so much. Like there's no shame in that. If I had a blood pressure issue and I had diabetes and I had to be on insulin, there would not be the same response. And I think the idea of weakness because you're on a medication is the dumbest thing. But so the whole, there's always been that voice in my head. There's always, it just, at times it can start to win. And it happens so subtly. Like it was a long process to getting into that dark of a place. And if you ask anybody, I was cheerleading at USC. I was in the business program and the film program, I had great grades. Everybody thought I was fine. Like my best friends to this day are like, I had no idea it was that bad because I was so good at fronting. and good at pretending. And so now the interesting part, you know, with this job too, and with different responsibilities, it's really helped me be so honest with myself. So when I do go into darker places, and there's been a couple times in the last couple of years that have been rough, especially when you have your life change and you're very isolated and New York City's great, but it's not my forever home.
Yeah.
And knowing now that there's people out there that look to me to talk about these things, I'm not joking and not being dramatic when I say, like, knowing that they need me to do this, they need me to keep going. And sometimes that helps. It's
for
not
them.
Me.
They need it for you. They need it for them.
Yes, but they are helping me so much because I, at that point, sometimes I'm like, I don't even know if I would do this for me.
Yeah.
But I know they want me to do this for them, so I need to do it.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah. Well,
just like a microcosm of the ride where there's a guy next to you. Mm. Or there's a guy, like when I would tell the story about when I was in rehab and I was getting, I go, and people now, you know, people get canceled or people going through it or going through it. And I always reach out to them and I was like, what did I want to know when I was at the bottom? What did I want to know? Mm. And I wanted to know that I wasn't alone.
Yep.
And I think I had some grievances, I think, even with God and with Christianity at the time. So I didn't really – I was in a bad place. I didn't want any Bible verses. Yeah. I was like, I'm not – I've heard all that before. What I wanted to know is that somebody was sitting next to me. He's like, man, this is it's not a good situation. And, and he goes, no, it's not.
And someone to just be present. Exactly. Yeah. And that's, and I hear you.
The hole
and,
with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Don't. Yeah,
and
yeah,
not
yeah.
asking you to do something. And like to bring up the Bible verses too. And I didn't realize this until recent. Someone was like, you need to read about Elijah and whatnot. And I love that part because it was like, I didn't realize.
That's
I was like,
actually the book, Elijah and whatnot. That's Elijah. The book of the Bible. That's crazy.
Elijah and whatnot. Yeah, like in the book name. Of Elijah.
No.
Elijah and whatnot. Elijah and whatnot. God's like, this girl just butchering my word. Goodness. But yeah, the you know, the angel came down to be with him. And Elijah wasn't supposed to do anything.
Yeah.
It was rest. It was, I'll just be with you and sit with you. And that's what it was about. Because I think so much I would try to beat that voice in my head by high performing, by being a perfectionist, by not letting anybody know I wasn't the girl on the pedestal that they wanted me to be. And then when that whole thing got knocked over of my own volition, but it's hard when you're in that place. It's like, it's hard to have faith in anything when you don't even, you're so detached from your body.
You're like, what? Yeah, yeah.
Like there's no way to, and there's no color in the day. And it didn't just happen. It wasn't a light switch. Like it fades slowly and slowly and slowly where you're just like, I feel nothing.
How did I get here?
Yeah. And you don't even know where to begin to get out of it because you haven't felt for so long and you didn't realize it.
And you're you're so far away from, like, dude, I haven't like eaten today.
Mm. Yeah.
Or like, so, like just very basic things. You're like, dude, I like, and now I feel like, I get up and I can't wait to like, there's so many things to do in the day and accomplish and work and fun and love. And it's like, dude, it's like the possibilities, but I didn't always feel like that.
No. And isn't it? And for me, what I struggle with sometimes is giving myself grace for that part of me that will always exist. Like it makes me sad how many years I know I lost living that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I can't get my college years back.
Yeah.
I cannot get a lot of my 20s back. I can't get, you know, there's even chapters like since I've been at Peloton, like people would not know it. Interestingly, some people pick up on it, some of the members, when I'm in a not so great headspace. But like this last year, there was a dark chapter.
Yeah.
And you realize, you know, you can be mad at yourself for like, oh, I wasn't present and look at how great my life is now and think of all the goodness that would have happened then. But then at the same time, I realize like, I can acknowledge the beauty in that now and be so excited about certain things now because I've been in that place.
Mm. You read that? Yeah.
It's like, you know, the extremes.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I just have an extreme brain. It's either here or here. And so we do our best to keep it in as neutral as possible.
Somebody said to me last night, because we had a show here in Nashville and there was the, it was in March, the shooting in Nashville.
Yeah.
And we talked about like doing the pod. Like, should we do, we had to film it. And we were like, he goes, what do you want to do? And I go, I'll talk about it. I go, because I think it's important for like, not to quote the Bible, but it's like mourn with people who mourn and be happy when people. So
go through it
once,
together.
once we are back on top, or back when it's everything's going good, we're going to appreciate that more if we brought everybody into this.
Yeah.
And I didn't, we weren't taking any hard stances or takes or anything, but I just go, it's a sad day.
Yeah.
But it's a sad day.
It was absolutely petrifying.
Yeah.
And like, I have a nephew here, and you think of like all those, you know.
Yeah.
And we do. We need, it is about, that's what it's all about. It's about community. It's about grieving together. It's about the highs and lows.
Yeah.
So much, I think, where people, where society kind of gets it wrong. And I don't know if it's our culture here or America, I don't know. People can blame whatever it is. It's not about blaming it. Right. The issue is that there's this idea that it has to be up here all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people, and this was a lot about like LA and Hollywood, they leave you the second you have a dip. They don't want, it's like it's contagious, your pain or
like
your suffering.
Like a Zim pouch? Like a dip?
Oh, dip. Oh, yeah, they
weren't
dip.
Allowed to have that. They can do drugs, but you couldn't dip.
Yeah,
that was such a Southern moment where I was like, dip?
The second you have a dip.
The second you have a dip, they're gone.
They're like, hey, we didn't know you
did.
That's the line.
Yeah. Skull? Really? Yep. That's what you
okay. Heroin? Fine. Yeah. Dip?
Nah. Dip? No. Just disgusting.
Yeah, they did. They leave.
Yeah.
The second
anything goes haywire. And you see it all the time. And it also... And think of that person's brain. That means like, I'm only valuable when I'm winning. And that's why everybody fronts all the time. And it's like the social media stuff. True. And I get it. Like you have the validation from a million other people telling you you're pretty or telling you that you matter. And so that one comment can hurt a lot more. And you're human, but it's just none of that's real.
Yeah.
Is there any, there like with the, when you, when the, everybody, I look about what's happened in my life and like you look, if a show or two, you ever think about that would have taken off where, and then you were like, oh, maybe I don't have all, and this, you kind of backed into this, but then this took, like, maybe I wouldn't have any of this.
Oh, my.
If you had like a decent reoccurring
role, if I was, I would
Cody
not have gone.
You wouldn't have, but you wouldn't be here.
None of, I would not, my, That's I mean, crazy, if I'm being totally honest, if my kid acting career worked out in any way, shape or form, I probably wouldn't be alive. I think, and I hate, I like, I'm sorry, I know that's heavy, but like, it would have done me in. Because there was, I would have never been able to go through that kind of suffering safely. Because I would have been trying to front for everybody. Because I wouldn't have wanted to let my parents on. I already didn't want to let my parents on. I didn't tell them how bad, like, when my mom called me that moment before, she had no idea what was going down and how close it was. And she came to pick me up. And I didn't tell them for 3 years. Because I just didn't want them to know. So
is that how dark it was?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then again, what a beautiful thing with Peloton, because like I started talking about my mental health and being open about it because I was like, I'm turning into the girl that I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. I'm turning into the bubbly. Oh, her life is great. It's on a pedestal. She's like the chick from California on the bike. And I'm like, no. Y'all don't know. Like there's so much going on here, but I didn't want people to pity me and I didn't want it to come from like a woe is me. This is an angle.
But when you, when you're
kind of opened up
in your 20s and living in the treehouse, as you put it,
the and Hobbit floor of the treehouse,
and it's not like with the hot plate, and it's not. Are you like mad at God at that point? Are you like, this, how is this a plan? This is a bad plan.
I kept wondering what I was like. What does this even mean?
What are we
like,
doing?
What am I doing? And you know, I went to a really great college, and I worked hard for that, and then I had this great job in tech and media, and that's a whole other chapter, but terrible environment and had to get out of there. And I was then that, you know, where I was living for like no rent. And at one point I moved home with my parents and I was like, I have everything I thought I was succeeding at. I failed. Yeah. I just flat out failed. So I felt like I failed myself. But again, it goes back to teaching and knowing that I could show up for people. And there was like a seed planted at that job.
That's crazy.
Because I remember this woman came in and she was bawling to me because of something I said in like one of the tougher rounds of class.
Yeah.
And then that's where that quote started coming in. And then it's when you look back and you can connect the dots, you realize like literally there is a plan. You're like, I see it now. And that's why it's just like keep walking, like keep going because
you have to. Well, you look at, you know, Dave Ramsey, he's like a financial guy. He's on, he's always on the radio and he's like, he's telling people about their finances and everybody's caught in debt and they're, you know, $100,000 over.
And they feel like it's not worth, they're going to
And he has been, he himself has been bankrupt twice and living on, and he, with the same story and you can tell in his like instruction to people, or he's like, hey, like I've been there. I've been there, and I am now over here. Mm-hmm. And it like such encouragement and such like strength that he's like given to these people because he's been there.
Yeah.
So I think with the message that whatever we've been armed with, it's mm-hmm. like, dude, nobody's like, hey, you should like start like saying something inspirational. You're like, dude, this is just inside of me.
And it just comes like, or you know, or you hear a rap lyric, guys, and it hits deep. But seriously, sometimes those are those spark. I know. I love it. You can make fun of me all you want.
I'm just kidding.
But you have those little spark moments.
Yeah.
And then stuff comes out. And it's why, like, I always, and I don't remember 90% of the time, like, what I say. There's so much going on, but I'm also, and then people say, oh, you said this thing in class. I'm like, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But it's really beautiful. And like, every time before I teach, I always like, I have a moment, like, I kind of get quiet because sometimes it's just overwhelming. And I'm like, whatever I'm supposed to say, let me say.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in this room and who needs to hear what, or who's on that screen, or who's on the other side of the country going through something.
Yeah.
But let me make it about that. And about whatever message you need me to deliver.
And that would be like, if it's not for that, what are we doing here?
What's the point? I mean, we can go super nihilistic. It's like, but what's the point?
Yeah, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Just trying to collect followers and money and like win at the game of life and then just kaput.
So we're like, hey, we talked about that on the pod. You're like, we need to like, it would be nice to like grow the pod and the pod, like for what? Like, what so double money or triple money or quite, or like or
what because it if it's it not always a goes
meaningful conversation if you're like Theo, who's a buddy of ours, he goes when we start a pod, he goes, just talk to people that you want to talk to,
and the
people will hear it and will be able to tell
and the audience will that audience builds like if you have to force it or try for it, it doesn't work because it's not authentic. And if anything right now, we just need authentic human connection,
which is crazy because it's like the opposite of like Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or like what and that think, like, not Hollywood, because I have a lot of friends out there too.
Yeah. And no, there's, like, there are good people guys in Hollywood. There are really like, lovely people. Yeah. Not a lot, but just some. There's some. There's a small little grouping that's awesome.
What all these people, but me too. Like we're fans of people too.
Yeah.
I follow, and I go, man, I just like that guy. Why? I don't know. I like what, I like his energy. I like what he's about. Like when I press, it's probably same with you. When I press publish on a video or a, it's once it's done for me, it's done. Whatever y'all want to do with it.
Yep. Whether it's going to do well or not, or what someone's going to do.
Or if it's going to be reposted, or if I'm going to get what, that's not really up to me. I was like, dude, I like to like do it. Mm-hmm. I just like to do it. And there's, we were talking about last night about country music. Cause we're watching all those up and coming artists. I go, dude, it's so hard. It's so hard to get from where those artists were last night
to where Taylor Swift is, beyond.
To at least money.
Yeah.
Or and if you're in it for that, for ultimate like fame, or it's like you're it's not going to work. It's
and you'll
not
get it last. For a second. No, yeah, and it'll I've seen this with so many people who had it as kid actors who were friends, and it's heartbreaking because they're still reeling from the fact they tasted it, but it wasn't them, and it got pulled away. And they didn't even
they tasted someone that wasn't their true authentic self, a version
and
of
so
them.
And so they want to keep trying to run back to that person because that's when they were special, and that's when they mattered, and that's when the world loved them. So talk about like brain development and on a developing brain, like that's what your neural pathway is telling you.
Oh, yeah.
So many years to try to fix it.
And to try to
F your brain.
I don't think that's unique to child actors too. Like, I mean, just think about people reliving glory days, like high school glory days and college glory days. Mm-hmm. I think that's all the same thing. You just get stuck in that like idealized version of what you felt it was or thought it was.
Yeah.
And I would say, because I always like to, when the podcast gets about like celebrities complaining about, they're like, all right, to bring this back to the listeners, not even, that's everybody, whether it's a job or maybe you're a mom and when your kid was in the thing, it was, you were like, or when you worked at the certain place or when you were on the board of, I mean, that goes down to everybody.
When we all have that ego boost.
The part of life when you felt, maybe you were in high school or college and you were on
your prime,
the team, whatever you decide that is.
Yeah, the concept of prime is dangerous. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because everything, like there was this cool actors roundtable they do right around like award season. It was Tom Hanks was talking to all the guys that were nominated.
Yeah.
And he was like, what's one piece of advice that you would tell someone that was younger? And he was like, it's this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And it's true. The good stuff, when you're on the top of the world and everybody loves you and everyone's
which
insulting
is Bible
your name,
verse.
That's great. It is. We snuck it in there, it guys.
It's in Elijah and whatnot.
It's in Elijah and whatnot. Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah. But it's true. No, yeah, like the good stuff and the negative stuff as well. Like not everything will go away. You get one moment. You get one shot. You get one opportunity. Yeah. Guys, that like full.
These week off.
That is, tell me you do not want to like just crush the mic when that happens. Right, that will make you just punch it back.
Dude, I might have to get one right now.
I know. Well, we got it.
No, all right. So yeah, all that you go, this exists in the time that it exists in, and it's not for better or for worse. The depression, that stuff, life, it just goes on. And think about a guy like Tom Hanks who said that. He's like, dude, I've seen it all. Uh-huh. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And
or like Robert Downey Jr., who's dealt with so much and had like a career comeback that nobody thought.
Yeah.
But he was canceled, shunned.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. And
gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talk about comeback of the century, but a really lovely guy.
Yeah.
And
had his own demons.
Yeah. Because we all do.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing is like his honesty about it has probably helped so many people.
Yeah.
He's freaking Iron Man. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. Were you wrestling with faith a lot during those dark times? Like, how did that play a role?
Yeah. And there was a lot of like walking away from it because I was so angry about it. Like at one point I lived for like an extended summer in Italy between my junior and senior year. So this was before the mental health dropped out. And I kept trying to go to the Vatican and I couldn't get in. And then ended up going before this one class. Another guy I was dating at the time broke up with me over text message. I got robbed on the train the day before. It was just a
sick,
just a heap.
It's a good week.
We're crushing it. Yeah. Crushing it.
Broke up over text.
Clearly my taste. We need to have a discussion about
a different podcast. A different podcast.
That's a different podcast. No, we're not airing grievances here. Someone else will handle that. But anyway.
Like Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give this one to God.
Revenge is his.
Because if I do it, I'm going to jail. Which, true. But
trying
to
go to the Vatican.
Trying to go to the Vatican.
Yeah.
Ended up finally getting in. And I mean, I'm Catholic, right? So I hadn't been to confession since my first.
Do you know who I am?
Huh?
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. Oh, no. This is, I'm like, hey.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Come on.
Oh, no. This was no.
This is pre
Hobbit Home. Like, this is.
Do you recognize me now?
Hi. I'm on a bike. I brought it in. Wheel it into the Vatican.
How about now?
Have like the Swiss guards looking at me, like riding a Peloton in front of them.
Oh, we know who this is.
Do a ride at the Vatican.
I took her classes.
The Pope.
Be wild. It's Kendall.
Papal. Papal ride. We'll ride to some gorgeous choir music.
Yeah.
Okay. Dang. Got too far. But there was a chapel of these nuns that were praying and it was by all the confessionals. And I was like, I'm at the Vatican. I got to do it. Like, if I'm going to confess anywhere, this is it. Like, this is like the Super Bowl of Catholics. So like, I need to go and do this here. And this one, I was so nervous. I almost walked out. And this one nun turned around, sweetest thing, just looked at me and smiled. And I was like, oh, darn it. I got to do it. It's a sign. And then went in, confessed. And it was interesting. It was the feast day of Doubting Thomas. And I was in this confessional and the priest was laughing at me because I'm crying. And I was like, I just don't know. I don't know if I believe in this. I don't know if I believe in anything. Like having that moment. And then he starts laughing. And I was like, why are you laughing? Like, screw the Catholic Church. I'm done. Like, this sucks. I know. Ugh.
He's like, bro, you got dumped over text.
Yeah. He's like, he's like, and like text is newer. Like, it's not like it's like iMessage yet. Like, this is bad. Anyway. And he was laughing because of the irony of the fact it was like the feast day of Doubting Thomas. And I was saying, I was just doubting everything. And doubt and shame with my mental health have been the through line of a lot of my pain. And so, you go kind of through these phases and then being frustrated by organized religion and people who do very bad things because they're protected. And I think that's just the most deplorable act in general. Like anybody using faith to hurt somebody else is to me is the worst of the worst. But you find your way through. And I'm telling you, you always kind of find your way back. And this past year was really tough. But that, I was like, oh, there's a Bible. I should probably read it. And started reading it. And it made a big difference.
And that's amazing. Yeah, I don't think we've obviously all been through our own journey like that. That the God is not at that insecure to like if you're like making portrait, he's not like, why don't you? He's like, he has a better plan for you, but he's not like what like with the questions and the doubts and the wrestling and the struggling.
It's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
just come back, come chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good.
I'm still going to be here. Yeah. It's that same thing. It's like someone being there with you just to sit there in those moments. It's mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
It's that quiet constant that sometimes you lean on it, sometimes you forget about it, but I think you realize there's always that, you know, and then you see the interconnectivity and things mm-hmm. and you see where you're like, oh, there's no way. Like that's not coincidence. That you cannot, like I look at my life, there's absolutely no way I should still be here at all.
That's crazy.
So, and here you are.
I know. And now just saying stupid things on a bike that goes nowhere.
No,
you know?
I don't think that. Well, I was going to ask you, dude, does the, like, obviously we're all human and it is feel good to like encourage people and lift people out of depression. Mm-hmm. But like the superficial like comments about like your beauty or even maybe like, we talked about this before you came in here, like the, when people do sexualize mm-hmm. and probably you, but all, we talked about all the instructors.
Yeah.
Like there's how does that, that you want to kind of like, obviously that you're like a body that like people aspire to have, but then it goes like, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
Or that it goes like, how do the instructors handle that?
A lot. I mean, it's interesting. We have these summits like once a year and we all kind of get a chance to talk about what it's like. And especially as it's grown, it's hard because you understand on one hand, like you want to be this figure that is aspirational or inspirational. We're working out all the time, right? But
and you want to look good.
You want to look good. And then if I post, like I don't post a lot of bikini photos anymore because I don't want someone to feel less than, but at the same time, like if I'm surfing in El Salvador with my fam or with my dad.
What
like,
a flex. Did El Salvador, is that necessary to put in there?
No, that kind of sounded really rude. I'm not going to lie. That
Santa Monica would have been
literally,
fine.
No,
Santa
I'm just.
Santa Monica would have been literally fine.
You don't surf in Santa. It's disgusting water.
In El Salvador. Yo.
No, she's water that shaming was, too. Yeah.
She's so deplorable, guys. She's so egotistical.
Throw it all away.
Yeah. No, honestly, because that was the last time I posted a bikini photo, but but I posted it really far away. And I still, like, I had people like, how dare you post your backside, blah, blah. I'm like, it's attached to me. It's mine. And you know what? Yeah. I talked to you about working on it and I'm not ashamed of it. I think, I don't think we've really figured it out, to be honest. Mm. You just kind of have to understand that when people, again, they're coming from something that, and someone else that gave them pain.
Yeah.
So if I have to be your trash bucket, you're going to unload on me that day. I don't know you.
Oh, you're talking about people say negative things about you.
Or say, how dare you? You shouldn't show yourself this. Yeah, I'm on a bike. I'm also sweating. It's hot in there. What do you want me to do? Wear like a jumpsuit? Mm-hmm. I've done that once and it was awful. And I will. I already wear a beanie in the pop punk classes and it's a swamp jumpsuit. Underneath. It's disgusting. Yeah. Like, no. Yeah. So maybe I missed what like.
Yeah, no. I mean, but a guy, like negative or positive, if guys come in your DMs like, wait, and be like,
I mean,
probably just ignore it.
That's just kind of like, okay, buddy, thanks.
Is that really what we're here for?
I like what you said earlier about how people are going to view things through their own contextual lens and like there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, there's absolutely. And their context is the reason why they see the world the way that they do. Mm-hmm. So I understand, like I could be a trigger for somebody's trauma in a very valid way that I had nothing to do with. There could have been a girl in high school that was rude to them and she looked like me or I said something and it pulled it up and they're probably not even self-aware to know what that is.
What if you or one of the girls that you got a job over her in the child acting, you got a commercial over her. She's coming for you all these years later.
That, you know, they're like, that damn her. Yeah. Now she's on a camera.
Sorry, I interrupted you, but
everybody has their own garbage and their own junk and I think you just kind of get to that point of like, there's days when it hurts. Like, I'm not going to lie and be like, I'm resilient. And like, it's one of those, I'll call one of my girlfriends or I'll call my mom and I'm like, Mom, people are pissing me off today. This person said this thing. She's like, do you want me? I'm like, don't comment back.
Yeah.
Don't. She would love to. Oh.
It's like somebody else is up my bomb's burner account. What's her name again? Becky?
Becky.
Susie.
Shoot. Damn it.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to be like, don't you dare call me.
Yeah.
John. No, Susie.
Sorry,
Susie. No. Susie's great.
In your
Susie,
DMs already.
Yeah. Oh, she'll be like, I had a feeling you were talking about me. I mean, I bring her up all the time. Yeah. But
you do such a good job motivating people. Who motivates you?
Oh.
Dang.
It's a really good question. Because it used to be like,
not the priest who laughed at you.
Although in a weird way, that was like good negative and you know. Sure. Proper Catholic shaming. Sure, it's great. Yeah. Woo! Par for the course, but That's a, you know, and this is going to sound so like hunky dory beauty queen, but truly when you get messages from people or people come up and say, hey, like I've gone through this thing and this helped me so much, or these classes got me through like a dark chapter, or oh my gosh, you guys, this can make me cry. I had a writer come in, she's a member, and work told me they were doing kind of a feature on her. So she's going to be on their social media soon. And she booked in to come into my class December of last year. She just had, her third baby. She has 3 under 4. And she woke up one morning and she couldn't feel anything from her chin down. She had some tumor in her spine and it caused the pressure for all, like she essentially had almost, I think it was like almost a stroke or something. It was a very rare occurrence.
Yeah.
She was in the hospital. She wasn't sure she was ever going to walk again. She has a literal 2-week-old and 2 other kids under the age of 3 or 4. And she was like, it changed my whole life and I had to figure it out. I didn't realize she was back in my class riding the bike and she came up at the end. She has a walker. So she has she's gotten back to the point with so much PT, everything she's gone through. She's got 50% usage back in one leg, 0% in the other. But the doctor said, I don't know how. They told her, you're never going to walk again. Like, it's never going to happen.
Wow.
It's all done. And she's like, nope, I'm going to keep trying. I have to be there for my kids. I have to do what I need to do. I'm just going to keep, I know there's more. Yeah. And it looks like in the next 8 months, she'll be able to fully walk and have full function back in her whole body.
Wow.
But she's been doing the Peloton because that's the one thing she's been able to do. But she found a way to get on that bike before both of her legs fully worked. Like, when you talk about that, like that's where it changes. Growing up, of course, I was like, oh, look at this person, this famous person who's built an empire and done this. And sure, like I think The Rock is cool and he's built incredible stuff and has companies and gives back to charity. That's lovely. Yeah. But it's that stuff. It's those people. It's the stories of people who they're not going to be, no one's going to know that person's name. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have their name in lights. Like, and I always kind of laugh when I see the people who are famous getting, you know, a lot of accolades because they started a charity. I think that's great. It's also a tax write-off. So let's kind of call it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But anyway, not to question people's intent, but that's wonderful. But to me, like, that's the minimum. Like, just go be a good human. Go try to make the life, go try to make people's lives better. And what she's done for that community, she's part of Never Knocked Out Crew.
Oh, yeah.
They all support her. Like,
that's unbelievable.
You know, you watch people affect the world because they're just doing good in it and they're doing the best they can. It's that stuff. That's what motivates me at this point.
That's awesome. Yeah.
How do you go to a live class? Isn't that
very exclusive? Do you want to come to a live
class? No, I don't think. It's got to be very exclusive to get into one of those.
It's really hard to get tickets. Yeah, so every Thursday they go on sale for
How many?
40.
40. Okay,
40 in the cycling studio. And
it's like going to see Jimmy Fallon or something. Studio's so small.
Yeah. It's super teeny. Then imagine you're sweating with everybody.
And do they know who's teaching? Mm-hmm. They do.
They know who's teaching. And so
you see those people from the comments or the communities or whatever, and then they meet them in real life.
Oh, yeah. Then, totally. And then they'll put like their names on their, like on their shirts. And remember when you DM'd me 3 years ago where you responded back? And then it's nice. Wild, it would be like that meant so much when you did that. And I was like,
we got to go get one.
Come out to New York. Yeah. It's really fun.
That's nuts, dude. Yeah. I can imagine meeting all those people.
Yeah. And then after the class, we wait in line and we meet every single person that was there and we take photos together.
And everybody's sweating and everything.
Yeah. It gets a little gross, a little stinky.
Well, what's it like, before we get out of here without mentioning any names or specifics, what's it like dating as a Peloton instructor?
Well, I mean, y'all were—
Is that a fair question?
Yeah. No, so. it's honestly hard. It's weird. I was on one of those dating apps for people who— Like you have to kind of get in and you think like, oh, it's going
to
be.
If you have to be like, kind of like you've had to surf in San Salvador to get on it. Kind of that
one. I was on one of those dating apps for people who like have followings and stuff. And that's what led to what y'all found out happened last night. Long story short, we won't go into details. Essentially, I just found out I got completely played. And these guys were lovely and we just met. And I was like, guys, I'm so sorry.
Here for you.
Yep. They were. Yep.
There's a lot going on.
So dating's not easy.
Yeah.
I think
you have to meet under the, like anyone I would meet at you, the comedian, the Kendall Tool, the instructor goes ahead of you to meet them for like, they know you from that. They don't know you outside of that. Me as a comedian, they know that guy before they,
Yes. And so that's the hard part with dating is that a lot of people either take your classes and then they're odd. And or they put you on a pedestal. No, not that people who take my class are odd, but like the guys who try, like
odd. Yeah.
I think they have, they also have like a vision of who I am.
Yeah.
And they've had time to like think of what I would be like, the perception of me would be like.
Yep.
I think it's probably very disappointing to meet me in real life because it's like, oh, she's not like wild and crazy and throwing her hair around all the time. Like, no.
A foot shorter than everybody thinks too.
Actually,
yeah.
a full yeah. foot. Yeah, so dating's challenging, but I don't know. You got to believe that the right person comes along at the time when it's supposed to. And hopefully they'll be very supportive and a very kind-hearted person. And yeah, that's been the challenge, I think, is a lot of the attention, I think, is hard for a lot of guys to feel comfortable with. So,
oh yeah, you go out and people are like saying what's up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he's got to be cool mm-hmm. with like, if I'm at an event or something and we want to go together, I hate to say being the guy that holds the purse, but like, hey, let me go do this really fast.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that stuff and people coming up and saying hi and be like, hey, can you take a photo? People will put photo, like yeah. put cameras yeah. in people's faces.
Yeah,
and
we were there. We were
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and, I think it's, yeah. if the like, I think of comedy is mm-hmm. a very emotional experience mm-hmm. to experience joy, laughter, and the same with working out, same with exercise, very emotionally charged
mm-hmm. yes.
experience. So if yep. you share that with someone, I mean, dude,
it's like weirdly intimate. Like, I don't yeah. want to say intimate, but it is.
No, and I said this before, but we didn't cover this. Dude, 800 rides is so much.
Well, think of the average ride is 20 to 30 minutes. Out.
Yeah,
that's a lot of time with one person.
Yeah,
like that's longer than that's probably longer than most of my relationships.
Twice a week for yeah,
that's
years.
A ton of time.
That's a ton of time. So that's a full long time. And there's certain people like 4,200, 2,100, 1,100. That's what's up on there
because they're just stacking them.
They stack them and it's every single day, or sometimes Gosh. Multiple times a day. Like people will not; they'll stay at certain hotels that have Pelotons, just so they don't lose their streak on the bike.
Wow, that's like a snap streak.
Yeah,
they've really? Gamified the whole thing.
Yeah, it's all Smart, gamified. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Cody Grigsby's. I don't. I have my vision. Like, as the CEO. Yeah. He's not the CEO.
Honestly,
he's the puppet master.
Yeah, he's like.
And Allie, shout out. We like Allie too.
Yeah, she's super cool too.
That's just that we're at like Cody Grigsby's in charge. I don't think he's the CEO, but he messaged you and got you involved. So
yeah, he's.
I'm gonna just assume that he's in charge.
He could plant seeds and run and be like, like he would start a little drama in a fun way. Like that's Cody. He's like, let's put this one here. This one here, go.
Well, I think we've gotten involved with a couple different podcast guests with specific like communities. Like, I didn't know Disney had like their community, but it sounds like y'all. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the Peloton community is very strong too.
It's a full. I don't even know what to compare it to.
There's not like Peloton Con or something like that.
No. Well, we kind of taught. We had something called Homecoming, and then we had to stop it during COVID because people couldn't attend. But at one point, there were 16,000 people there the year before I joined, and that was early. So now, we're doing Peloton on tour.
2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2019. And then now we're doing Peloton on tour. So we're going to different locations. So I was just at the LA one. This was work like to say this, but I think there were for just LA alone, there were, I think 30,000 people who wanted tickets.
Whoa.
What?
And it was a tiny little, like there was maybe four or five activations. So and now they're going to be in Atlanta, upcoming Chicago, a bunch of other spots, London, but it's wild.
Four or five activations, meaning like it's 200 tickets for 30,000 people.
We did like these walks through Santa Monica and we were all trying to spend one-on-one time. We had like a 4-hour meet and greet.
Wow.
It was, but it was super,
it's
super
like
small.
Garth Brooks, dude.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Dang, and when you think on, you know, a ride, a lot of rides within a week, like anywhere 70 to 100,000 people will take them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be taken that many times in a week. So Madison Square Garden has 20,000 seats in it.
Oh yeah.
So that's like four-ish Madison Square Gardens.
I know we got to get you out of here.
Do you have
a goal ride? Like, do you have a dream ride that you could do?
If we ever could get the music rights to Led Zeppelin, I would be so
you can't
down.
Just do whatever you want. Any music
Cody can't make that happen.
I don't think Cody knows who Robert Plant is. Like,
wow.
He'd be like, what? No.
Code.
He'd be like the old. He's like, oh, he's kind of got swag. But, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You have to choose the music.
Well, we have to work with our music team. So because we're teaching live, it's all licensing and publishing and all of that. So our music team is awesome. They get everything that we want. They talk to artists or talking to different, doing cool deals. I have a fun thing. I have a fun thing we're filming. I hope in November and it all goes through. But now we're working with the artists, like one-on-one, or doing, sometimes they'll come to class and like do a live performance. Like Lizzo came and did it. And who else did?
Peloton's taking over.
It was cool. I want to do like a big concert, like actually at a stadium with bikes, with people, with artists. It's a dream.
I love that.
It would be so cool.
Yeah.
To go like on actual tour.
A whole festival.
Yeah.
Like a 3-day thing.
Yeah. A full Peloton festival would
be sweet.
Super cool.
Well, like, hey, if you see net positive in your comments defending you, you just know that.
Yeah, my guys, I love it.
Good to see you.
We've been through war together.
Yeah.
At the Red Door.
We'll see you soon. We'll never forget.
War at the Red Door.
We'll see you soon. Thanks for coming
by. Awesome. Thank you so much.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.